And we are back with episode 829 of The Critical Myth. I'm John, your host, and tonight we have...
This is Gary from Jacksonville, and I think I'm in today, John.
Yes, I do think that you are indeed the co-host for this show, and we are back after the aforementioned last time, two-week break, after I got done with my whirlwind international travel for business. So we are back just in time to start talking about some other frontiers being explored. But before we do all of that and get to what we've been up to the last couple of weeks, Gary, you want to give just a general disclaimer of some kind?
Oh, sure. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff. We might talk about books, television shows, movies, video games, or whatever we've run across that we think is interesting and we want to share with you guys. So as you hear a topic come up, if it's something that you're not interested in or don't want to be spoiled by, please put us on pause until you have a chance to catch up on that and then come back and listen to the rest of us. We're not going to couch or hide anything. We want to talk about it and dig into it. So I hope you're ready.
That's right, and just a brief programming note, we'll probably only have two shows this week, as anybody has looked at the television schedule lately, probably you've noticed that there's not a lot on yet. As these episodes are spooling out this week, things are picking back up, and things will pretty much be back up to speed in the middle of October, but for right now, it's still a little sparse out there.
And yeah, what happened to September debuts? Everything's in October now. I don't like it. Grumble, grumble.
Wake me up when September ends. Yeah. Oh, wait, it did.
Oh, geez, yes.
Yes. Okay, but... But yeah, we're looking at a pretty small slate here, although there is one big mentionable one on the list. So yeah, we're probably only going to have two shows, one that's going to be kind of everything but the episodic discussion. And then, of course, next time we'll get into a lot of talk about Star Trek Discovery, I'm fairly sure. And then we'll be back. I'm not going to promise it's going to be next week. Only reason is that even though I'm not going to New York Comic Con, it's possible that I will be meeting up with some people, and it might need to be Sunday night. So, depending on my scheduling, it might need to be another 2 weeks. But all that means is that we'll have plenty of material to go over next time, and we'll pretty much definitely be resuming our usual scheduling starting in mid-October. But, okay, all of that out of the way. Gary, while I was traipsing through the Black Forest and the Rhine Valley, what were you up to?
Well, let's see. Since we last talked, I got to live through a hurricane down here in Florida. Always a fun, and talk about a real blowout of a party. that was quite a ball and screwed a whole bunch of things up. Oddly enough, thankfully, my internet and cable television stayed up for all but 12 hours of the whole experience. So it was pretty good. It worked out pretty well for me. No injuries, no real damage. So yay. let's see. But in the meantime, with this dearth of programming, I've got to catch up finally on Defenders. I got to see Assassin's Creed finally, as well as getting out to the theater and seeing the new Kingsman movie. I also finished, I think I was reading 2061 when we last talked. I finished that, and oddly enough, not intentionally, but it was honestly the next book on my pile was another Clark book, was Childhood End, which I'm almost finished with as well.
Take us through the films and your opinions as you go. Think about the films that you watched.
I mainlined Defenders.
Okay.
I know I'm a little late to that game, but I watched it. I thought most of the characters were very good. I had big issues with Danny Iron Fist. I thought they had gone away as I watched as miniseries developed, and then I came back to this and I felt like I was back in episode 3 again. And I was a little disappointed by that. I really forgot how much I liked Daredevil. It seems like forever almost since I've last watched it, and I thought he really shined in this miniseries. Even the background characters were well introduced, and I'd say serviced properly, meaning we had enough time to sort of visit with them as well. They weren't just thrown in as a cheap cameo in and out in a scene, and that was it. They really did sort of work into the story a lot, which pleasantly surprised me. I was glad to see Foggy and Karen and everyone else from within their little circles not only show up but actually be actively involved in this whole plot, this whole defense against the Hand. So I thought that was really a lot of fun. As I said, just banging my head against the whole Danny situation and the storyline could have been handled better. Then I also saw Assassin's Creed, and I know John, you are a huge uniform wearing fan of the Brotherhood. And so I definitely wanted to finally give it a chance once I had the opportunity, partially from all your raving of the various games and such. So wanted to, you know, get a sense of things. And geez, that thing stunk to high heaven. I saw the sort of background and the definite homaging to the video games. But at the same time, I was still wondering where the story actually was. That was the only thing that seemed to be dead on entry to the movie. But
How'd you like that third act that made absolutely no sense?
Oh, when they actually became assassins?
Yeah. And then, like, a whole bunch of them descended on the one building, but only one of them did anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, that made a lot of sense, right?
Yeah. Anyway, so, don't get me wrong, I sort of saw where they wanted to go at certain points, and maybe the outline looked really nice, but when it got written out, it just came out poorly. And I usually like Michael Fassbender, but geez, talk about phoning it in. I just really didn't. I never felt like he connected with any of me or the character. So it was a little bit rough.
And you know what's really strange about that? What? I mean, not to dwell too much on how disappointing the film was, but he was one of the champions to get the film made. He was actually really engaged in the whole thing and is actually hoping that this is going to still somehow spawn a sequel.
Oh, no.
So I think, I mean, for someone who was that passionate about the project for so long, it was so strange to see him have so little character at the end of the day.
Well, that's the whole point. I mean, his character was I don't want to, it'll be sound a little traipsy, but it was a caricature. It was not we really didn't feel like he was fleshed out in any way, shape, fashion, or form. And that's, you know, that stops you from connecting with him and connecting with all the other people that they wanted us to connect with, or at least his small group. And we never got enough of them to make that connection. And it was just, sad that it failed out that way. The actual genre itself, I enjoyed the fight scenes, the going back and forth between, reality and his dreams. I'm not sure what that ancestor time thing they called it, but I rather enjoyed the presentation. It was just there was no story to go along with it, so that was a little sad. And as I said on the book front, 2061 was a big letdown. There was really no real wow moment for me during the whole thing. It was sort of very bland, and I don't think the universe needed that story to complete itself or to reveal something that had not yet been covered. It was very extraneous, in my opinion. Childhood End, I wanted to say I thought I had read this years ago, but perhaps it's been so long it's just not in my noggin anymore. So I'm about 75% through it, and it's kind of a big yawn for me as well, and I'm starting to remember why I don't read that much Clark. And I'll finish and get through it. And I'm trying to remember what my next
book up is. That one is one of those books that I think that it's the impact of the last bit of it that actually matters. It's not the vast majority of it sets up some things that there is a payoff, but it's one of those things that once you kind of get the payoff, you remember fondly. If you liked the payoff, you remember the book fondly. If you kind of feel like it's blah, then yeah, it's one of those things where the ending kind of affects your memory of the whole, I think.
But, oh, okay. Maybe that's why it's not sticking in my head, but anyway, and I typically like pulp, so I was, you know, anxious to hop back into it again because it's been a while since I've read, you know, sort of, you know, pulp fiction type of stuff. Yeah. So I was looking forward to it, and it's letting me down a little bit. So at least I'm coming up on my yearly reread. Usually I hit it in November or December of Foundation by Asimov, so I'll get my pulp fix one way or the other. So.
There you go.
I'm trying to think of anything else of the books. It's more of a news item, so I'll hold off.
Okay. You can if you want to.
Okay. Well, then I will, because I was so excited about this. And while it looks like they're going to be twisting and turning it beyond belief, and I'm slightly angry about that, just the fact that it's even happened has me all excited and giddy. Supergirl, they announced that they cast Saturn Girl as a recurring character for the third season. They're not making her telepathic, they're making her telekinetic, and I think she might even be dark-haired. But it's still another link to the Legion, and I'm hoping they're not just digging through the Legion for material, but rather actually going to use them at some point for something amazing and incredible, even though I already know it's not going to be the crossover this year. So I'm still very excited that we have any Legion links, and I'm hoping it actually starts linking.
Hey, you know, anything that you can get out of this, I hope that you do.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah, because certainly you are long-suffering as a fan of Legion.
Yes.
I've heard your trivias.
Yes. Anyway, so that is an exciting thing for me as a fan for that, and I think that's about it on the at least for my excited giddy last week and a half or two. So. Hmm.
Okay, well, let's see here. I've got a little bit on my list, but one of the first things that I wanted to kind of throw out there, because I know that it's something that we both have seen, is the Orville.
I wasn't sure if we were saving that for actual television discussion.
Oh, no. It's not one that we're doing episode by episode, but it's one that's kind of like as we catch up, I guess. Yeah, so what have your thoughts been on this as it's progressed a bit more?
Oh, geez, I really think they're finding their sweet spot. I thought as we went into it for the first episode or two, the humor was a little bit over the top. Not that it was not Seth's type of humor per se, but for what he was trying to do, I felt it was too much. He was trying to, in a lot of ways, you know, emulate a sort of proto Next Generation kind of feel to it, but with common everyday people. And that's fine, and yes, there should be jokes, and yeah, they can be crude sometimes, but the first episode or two seemed way over the top. By the third episode, I felt like they had dialed it back enough that it fit and didn't take me out of the moment. So I like where the writing is going with it. A lot of people are saying that it apes Star Trek, and yeah, of course it does, guys. If you think it's not going to, you shouldn't be watching this show. You have to take that. Now, when I say that, they've aired one episode that a lot of people said was very reminiscent of a Next Generation episode, but I could honestly point to one or two movies as well as other genre shows that covered much of the same territory. So I won't say that they're plagiarizing by any means, but could they be taking kernels of the ideas just like Next Generation writers did? Yeah, absolutely. I think they're taking it and making it a little bit of their own. And Seth and – oh, gosh, why am I blanking out on her name? Adriana. Yeah, Palicki. I think their chemistry is getting a little bit better. It was painful during the first one or two episodes. As we go into episode three and four, it's getting a little bit more comfortable. Maybe the actors themselves are just sort of loosening up a little bit, and at least I think I can see it. It feels a lot less strained than it did in the beginning. The crew isn't really developing enough for my taste, but again, we're only at episode four. How much can I really expect them to do? After all, I didn't even know I didn't know the Klingon death scream at this point during Next Generation either, but they eventually introduced it. So I think they're coming along great. It's a fun watch. I say it's one of these shows, even with the occasional off-color joke, that we can watch as a family with very little cringing. Dick jokes aside, and so generally it's clean fun. We're not getting nudity or crazy violence. We're getting science fiction violence, pew pew pew. So there's that. They did have a more serious episode where they were dealing with death and the like, gender rights, I guess. Mm-hmm. Which is a hot topic right now, and while I think they skirted over some issues that they could have gone to in depth, I have to remind myself that this is not meant to be a dark, deep thinking show. I think they respectfully handled most of the issue, and while I didn't agree with everything they did, I can't say they were disrespectful. So they were willing to touch a hot topic, and they did it reasonably well. So again, I'm happy with that for an early episode. It was probably a rough choice to actually do something a little bit heavy, but I think that's part of what the mandate for this show is, that it is like Star Trek, and while they do have jokes, they do want to start covering certain issues and bringing them up just the way the original show did, and leave you thinking about it. So I have to say, the episode, while I didn't agree with the with what happened at the end, I felt it did make me think about it. So job accomplished as far as I was concerned.
I would agree with that. I think that what they've done very nicely, and whether this was intentional or not, I don't know, but we're going to talk about Star Trek Discovery next time, and it's obviously a much more modern, darker kind of approach to the Trek universe. I think that the Orville, despite not being a Star Trek show per se, actually does a really nice job of presenting a lot of the nostalgic things about the 90s Trek that we all know and love, and it's just gently tweaking it and kind of poking a little bit of self-aware fun at it. At the same time, oddly enough, presenting, as you said, like that one episode, actually a fairly well-rendered Star Trek plot. And I find myself almost feeling like we're getting the best of both worlds when, you know, in certain respects. No,
well played. But no, I agree with you. I think they're handling it well. And, you know, as much as we're going for the hard Star Trek mold to compare this to, you know, if you look at a few other genre shows like a Babylon 5 or some of the various Stargate incarnations, you sort of see that while, yes, it's a science fiction show and they're covering certain things, they're not dogmatically staying to Star Trek, in my opinion. I think they are trying to find sort of their own way a little bit. And it's going to be bumpy, but I feel they're coming along fine. I enjoy watching the show. And heck, in the end, isn't that what a show should be? Something, it's entertainment. You should want to watch it.
Yeah, I'm surprised that the joke hasn't kind of worn out as we were kind of fearing that it would. I know there are some people who feel like it's kind of bland, but I think they're maybe not the target audience then. I think that it's quite good. It's definitely nothing else quite like it right now on the air, and that's perfect.
Well, I constantly, as I do watch the show, as much as you want to say Star Trek, I almost think more of John Scalzi's book Red Shirts, for the sort of tongue-in-cheek of the crew of the Orville. You know, sort of like they know why they're there and they realize there's danger, and at some point you just got to say, well, whatever happens. You know, it's sort of not a disconnect, but definitely a sort of they're not constantly worrying or anything like that. Oh yeah, geez, that looks bad. You know, it's a much more casual environment than I think Jean-Luc Picard would have ever had on any ship.
Yeah, I like to think of it almost like the Orville would be like if the Enterprise is the flagship. This is like several layers below the flagship. It's like they're doing their thing. They are not necessarily as tightly wound as the Enterprise crew, right?
They're doing the milk runs,
exactly. Let's see. Other things that have been on the air or that have been on my list. I finished watching The Tick.
Okay. My family actually has watched it. I haven't had the chance, and they rather enjoyed it. So,
It's surprisingly good, considering the fact that it has a live action version to be compared against, and I think that it strikes identity really well.
Okay, that's what I was wondering, because I rather enjoyed the last live version, and I worry that this won't live up to it or won't be enjoyable the way that was.
I think that it just strikes a different direction.
Okay.
It's a similar story, but in a fresh way. And the fact that that Ben Edlund is still involved, it's fun to see how those differences play out, especially when it comes to Arthur and some of the other relationships there. But it's a fun show. Definitely enjoyed it. The guy who plays the Tick, I can't remember his name right now, but he is absolutely hilarious. He gets the deadpan down, I think, even better than the original Patrick Warburton, I believe it is, that
yes,
the first time. I think he actually does a better job with it once he kind of settles in. It's a little rough in the pilot, but I think that certainly by the end of the 6-episode run, he is dead on. So I would recommend it to anyone. It's a quick watch. You'll be able to get through all 6 in a few hours, and that's nothing. I've also been watching some other shows that are from across the pond or otherwise a little bit different. One thing that is airing right now over in the UK is a show called Philip K. Dick's Electric Dreams. It's an anthology show, so every episode is its own premise, and there's been a couple episodes so far. There are some people who are calling it kind of like the kind of not the, the lesser Black Mirror wannabe, but I feel like it kind of does a nice job of kind of scraping out its own kind of space in the anthology world there. And I think that they complement each other actually fairly well. It's nice to have things that are based on these classic sci-fi stories. And the first one was okay. Certainly was interesting, but the second one I thought was actually better in my mind. It was kind of a little bit more, a little harder to figure out where the story was going to go. So, I'm kind of keeping track of it as we record this. The third episode is out in the UK, so I think it's a relatively short season, so I'm just going to kind of keep track of it as the season unfolds, but I'm enjoying it quite a bit. Also, a show that came out recently in the UK, over the summer, actually. I think it was late August, which is why I probably didn't, it didn't catch on my radar until now. But for fans of J.K. Rowling, she was writing some like noir detective novels under an alias. I think it was Robert Galbraith, Galbraith, perhaps, or something along those lines. Regardless, they're the Cormoran Strike novels, and I had heard they were going to adapt those for television and that they'd eventually come over here to the States. But I thought it was at least another year or two away. In fact, the first two novel adaptations, or the adaptations of the first two novels, have already aired in the UK. So the Cuckoo's Calling, which was the first book, is adapted in three parts, and then The Silkworm is adapted in two. So I got to see the first episode of The Cuckoo's Calling, and I really do like the casting. I think that it works well. I think that the adaptation makes you know, the necessary changes for the television, and it's just a really nice adaptation of her work. It's definitely not Harry Potter, but I was really quite impressed by what they were able to do. So just a couple of really good things coming over from the British Isles right now. And I'm not exactly sure when they're airing here in the States, but, well, if you have certain services, I think that it's pretty easy to get those. I'm not even sure. Maybe even BritBox makes them available, since that's the BBC thing, and I think they should be pretty easy to find if they're on there. Finally, as far as quote-unquote TV, I don't think it's actually ever been on TV, but there is an animated series called Ruby. It's actually spelled R-W-B-Y. It's been around for a few years. I think the fifth season is going to premiere next week or something like that. So it's been out there, but I've never really given it much of a try until recent weeks. And I'm about, a few episodes into season two. And I'm enjoying it. It's all computer generated animation. It's kind of crude in its own way, but the humor is really good. I like the characters. It's fun. The first season is pretty. It has a lot of very short episodes, so it's easy to get little chunks of it and kind of get to know the characters pretty well. But it's just a fun animated show, and it's very adventurous. It's basically kind of like a. Based off of fairy tales to a certain degree, so.
And what sort of target audience is it?
I would say it's probably teens.
Okay.
There's no, you know, super mature stuff going on or anything like that, but the humor can be a little bit, you know, more young adult minded than, say, little kids or something like that. It's not like that kind of animated show, but it's definitely for a more aware audience, shall we say. But it's definitely. You know, more action oriented at times and things like that. But yeah, I'm having a good time watching it. I don't know what the later seasons are like, but I do hear good things about it. And since the fifth season is coming along soon, I figured it's just about time to get up to date with it. So yeah, it's been pretty fun. So lots of things that are kind of the only one on that list that that is actually on a normal, shall we say, quote unquote, air quotes, normal channel is the Orville. Everything else is streaming or kind of, you'd have to kind of look for it in order to find it. So, but now's a great time to do it, or it has been a good time to do it this September, because as we mentioned before, nothing else is on. So it's kind of the right time. Speaking of movies, which you did earlier, Gary, I went
yes.
and saw It.
Okay. I've read the book and have literally no desire to see the movie because it's left me with nightmares. So I don't want to relive that, but are you sleeping well at night, John? How did you like it?
Oh, I enjoyed it. It didn't scare me
in
particular. It was more interesting from an adaptation point of view. I think that you know, Tim Curry was a little more terrifying than whoever plays Pennywise now. But you know, knowing the story actually does kind of help you just kind of enjoy it for what it is. I thought that it worked really well. I thought that they adapted. It's really the first half of the book, I believe, that they adapted, and I thought that it worked out really well. I think that the Losers Club, so to speak, was really well represented by the young actors. You know, sometimes you get some child actors, and it really doesn't work. But in this case, everybody gelled pretty well, and yeah, it was unnerving at certain moments when it should have been, and I wouldn't say scary, but unnerving. So That was at least something. And they did stay away from anything that was too questionable, if that's the word to use. So, yeah, it was pretty good. I understand why people have kind of enjoyed it and why it's having the success that it is. As far as reading is concerned, I've also had quite a bit of time with that, especially on very long flights. beyond some manga and stuff like that that I was catching up on, I read a... you mentioned Foundation before.
Yes.
Well, it's kind of related to that. You know, there are a lot of books that were kind of takeoffs of the original robot novels that Asimov wrote.
Yes,
and
yeah.
In this case, I read the second book in a trilogy by Mickey Zucker Reichert, who it is just the iRobot trilogy, and this particular volume was To Obey is the name of the book. So, like I said, it's the middle chapter, and it's kind of Susan Calvin's years in residency. So it's kind of her as a young, well, in her 20s, I guess you could say, kind of learning about herself, about her family, about robots at that particular time. It's not always about robots. It's very often about her psychology and sometimes even like medical mysteries, since that's the kind of doctor that she is and she's involved in, you know, psychology and everything else. So I wouldn't say that it's a must read, but I am intrigued by some of the ideas that are in those books. So it was not a quick read, but it was a good one.
Okay.
I also read a Star Trek novel, original series called The Face of the Unknown. It was written by Christopher Bennett, which I happen to enjoy his novels. I know some people think that they're a little bit of a little dense.
And perhaps, I've been coming around to him. He was hard at first, but I've gotten a feel for it now. Yeah,
he's got a particular voice, and you just have to kind of get used to it. This one is probably one of his more straightforward stories. It's not like, you know, temporally challenging or anything like that. But it basically takes the first Federation, as was explored or introduced in the Corbomite maneuver. Kind of fleshes it out a little bit. Taking a cue from other novels over the decades and so forth. And I enjoyed it. Definitely there are a lot of aspects that are occasionally it's obvious that he's trying to make a bit of a commentary on certain environmental issues and so forth of modern day, which is a very Trek thing to do. And I think that it's more successful at times than others. It's when you get a little bit close to the inspirational material that you kind of roll your eyes and go, wow, you really didn't hide your intentions too well there, but I do have to say that it was a nice quick read, and I think that mostly the voices of the characters pretty much shine true. There are a couple moments with Spock where I kind of winced and said, ooh, that's doesn't quite feel right, but you never know, since this is meant to be like later in the five-year mission, so you know, of course he's the characters evolve a little bit, so a good book, though. I would recommend it for fans of the original series, especially those who were intrigued by this idea of the First Federation. And then finally, I am about halfway through, literally started this book yesterday, before starting my way to... I actually was sitting in the train station in Germany and cracked open this book, and I'm now halfway done. Abaddon's Gate, the third book of the Expanse series.
Oh, okay. Yes. I know you're following that series. So.
Yes, it continues to be a very readable series, very exciting. Definitely went a direction I wasn't quite expecting, but yeah, it's flowing very well, and I don't think that it'll be too much longer before I'm finished with that book. So, yeah, I'm loving that series, and this one is going to be very interesting to see if they manage to get it up on screen, let's put it that way. But yeah, I've actually been able to get a lot of reading done in the last couple of weeks too, on top of all this other stuff. So that pretty much brings me up to date. Let's see, was there anything else that we had here that's worthy of note? I think that brings us pretty much to where we are now. I'm trying to think if there are any major news articles or anything that you wanted to bring up.
Just a side note, and I'm really not going for the cheap laugh in this, but I actually did honestly want to mention this. while we were off, it was announced that Hugh Hefner had died. And while I will skip all the nudity, Playboy Bunny jokes and all that, I do want to talk about, number one, the amazing interviews that the magazine brought to us. I read my first interview with Fidel Castro, with Henry Kissinger, and several other, you know, very notable people that that just boggled my mind. It was the first time I felt like I was reading something written by adults for adults. You know, you read newspapers and I always feel like they're dumbed down, but I actually felt like I was reading from an adult level at the first time, and I thought that was really good. Not only that, but all the variety of science fiction that were in the magazines. There were articles by Philip K. Dick and multiple other authors that were just that really never had a voice as the pulps had died out. And it was this was a little pet project of Hugh Hefner's to introduce meaningful content along with all the naked pictures, and he actually did succeed. He received many awards for literature, believe it or not, because of hard-hitting interviews, as well as I said, the science fiction short stories that he allowed into the books. And it really, it really was an amazing thing above and beyond just being a nudie book or whatever you would like to call it. And regardless of, even including all that stuff, he was definitely had a profound effect on the United States in the 20th century. And it was just, we probably won't see a guy like him again, but it was a good thing to see him while he was around.
Yeah, I'm aware that there are a lot of differing opinions about him. Certainly there were, I don't think there is an icon on the planet that doesn't have problematic aspects to them. And certainly over the years, what, maybe started as a very charming kind of fantasy world that he created became, more and more kind of
cheesy, yeah.
And sleazy, unfortunately, yes. In some respects. There's only so long that he can kind of keep up that image before it looks just a little awkward as he gets older and older. And of course, there's all the stories that we've heard, and yeah, it's not the greatest thing in the world. Yeah. I do, however, appreciate the point that you're making, and I've seen this point actually made a few other places as well, especially for writers and those who are fans of the classics, is that there were a number of seminal short stories that came out in the magazine from science fiction authors, and as you said, insightful interviews. It's not the lifestyle part of his work that that we're necessarily talking about here. It's the side effect of all of that was the counterculture that he kind of fostered and capitalized on, opened up doors for other voices that at the time had no other expression. And I think that's an important thing to keep in mind as we kind of look at the impact. I don't think that we're, it dishonors those who have a more problematic view of him and in the empire that he built, to note that there were some positive things that he definitely brought to the table, and that we would not have a lot of the classic voices in science fiction and in the genre and other genres as well without that outlet at the time. So I think your point is well made. I think that there's other impacts as well that explain why, even if one does not necessarily endorse everything that he may have stood for and may have done, the impact can't necessarily be ignored. Good and bad. I think.
Oh, yeah, no, he was by no means a saint. Absolutely not. But you still can't deny that he had an impact, yes.
Yeah. And for some people, it was a very transformative one, as far as their own careers and as far as the opportunities that it afforded them. And it's a joke. I know it's a cliche, but quite frankly, the articles were pretty highbrow considering. There was definitely some cheesy stuff there, but there were also, there was a reason why it won awards. It wasn't just a girly mag, so to speak, right? So,
well, it mainly was, John, but still,
it wasn't only. Yeah. That's the point. Exactly, that's the point. Because there are some who would, had the pretense of following in the same footsteps, and it was not as successful in doing so.
Or as well done, yes. His one of his major competitors often echoed many of the things he tried to do, but never quite as well. So,
yeah. Anyway, yeah, I can't think if there are any other in memoriam moments that we really have to go through.
Just a little tiny one. Monty Hall from Let's Make a Deal passed on as well. And, you know, definitely a funny guy. And I can remember as a young child watching the show and laughing hysterical and not quite realizing there was a game show going on. Also, I think it might have been the first time I was introduced to cosplay because so many people were wearing costumes on the on the show. So I think as I was thinking back, I was like, yeah, I think that might be.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I think what we're going to go ahead and do is wrap this particular one up. And yeah, go ahead and come back next time with our episodic discussion, mostly around one show in particular. We'll let you go ahead and guess which one that'll be. Until then.
And so ends another epic episode of The Critical Myth. If you want to leave a comment for this show, head over to vognetwork.com. Not only can you find links to the podcast version of each show, but there is a dedicated forum, a ton of written reviews and related articles by the crew throughout the site. For the written reviews, you can even leave your own review, so let us know if you agree or not. You can also leave comments on our Facebook page, Critical Myth, on Twitter at Critical Myth, or Google Plus under The Critical Myth Show. Any and all use of copyrighted material is only intended for discussion, commentary, parody, or educational purposes, in accordance with U.S. Code Title 17, also known as fair use. In other words, please don't sue us. And of course, the statements and opinions of the Critical Myth crew are not necessarily those of the VOG network, its partners, or affiliates, but let's face it, we're probably right anyway. Until next time, watch, read, and listen, and believe in the critical myth.